Omaha Public Radio presents another program from the Durham Museum Lecture Series on Noon Forum. We'll hear a talk by identical twins, Paula Bernstein and Elise Shine, who were separated shortly after birth, only to be reunited at the age of 35. This was part of a United States government experiment during the 1960s on twins to try to determine whether identity is shaped by genetic makeup, environment, or both. The title of their talk will be Identical Strangers. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, October 21st, 2014, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Durham Museum, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Mick Hale, Director of Education at the Durham Museum.
Our guests this evening are Paula Bernstein and Elise Shine, authors of Identical Strangers, the amazing story of two women coming to terms with the strange and unbelievable hand fate has dealt them. It's an account that broadens the definition of family and provides insight into our own DNA and the exceptional imprint that leaves on our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, Paula Bernstein and Elise Shine.
Much for that warm welcome, and thank you to everyone here for coming out on this gorgeous evening. Thanks for ordering up the really good weather too, Mick. We appreciate it. It's an honor to be here in Omaha at this lovely museum. And before our trip here, the two of us, even though we are twins, had to ask each other, have you ever been to Omaha before? And in fact, neither of us had, so thank you for this opportunity to come here together. Coming here also for this exhibit in particular brought us back to about 8 years ago when soon after our book came out and soon after really we met for the first time, we went to speak at the Franklin Institute where this exhibit started out. So this is really a great opportunity to come back to that. And of course, the exhibit speaks to us in a very personal way because we know firsthand what an imprint DNA does have on your personality. And I will let Elise tell you a little bit about how this all came about, even though we are identical twins, we just met at age 35.
10 years ago.
She always likes to remind me that we just had a birthday.
So imagine that a slightly different version of you walks across a room, looks you in the eye, says hello in your voice. You discover that she has the same birthday, the same allergies, the same tics, and the same way of laughing. Looking at this person, you are able to gaze into your own eyes and see yourself from the outside. This identical individual has the exact same DNA as you and is essentially your clone. Twins have been seen on sonogram images in the womb kissing, punching, and embracing. Clearly, the powerful connection between twins begins even before birth. Nevertheless, having shared the womb for 9 months, when we met, we were strangers. So it's still chilling to recall how just 10 years ago, after having grown up separately, reared in different adoptive homes, we always knew separately that we were adopted, but neither of us knew that we had a twin, much less an identical twin. So to tell you how it started off, I was living in Paris, France, not Paris, Texas, and when I first started to have an inclination to find more about my birth family, I felt like there was something I needed to get to the bottom of about my identity, something that I needed to know. So I touched base with the New York State Adoption Registry as I, and later I found out we, were both born in New York City. So my shock then to find out, to get a letter from the adoption agency saying you were born the younger of twin girls. And my mind was reeling, and I thought, who is this person? At that time, I didn't know if we're identical or fraternal twins. I didn't know if she knew she was adopted, or he, or I didn't know if they were alive, or as the letter also stated, if she was mentally ill, as it said that our my/our birth mother was. So I was, it was pretty daunting. I thought it would be a very daunting task to find my twins. So I headed off to New York City.
And now we'll trade microphones. I just like to point out that when she talks about the letter, she does always emphasize that she was the younger of twin girls. So here Elise was in Paris, then making her way to New York, and little did she know that I, in fact, was living in New York and had, aside from college, pretty much never left. And I was working as a journalist, and as a journalist, I had written an essay entitled, Why I Don't Want to Find My Birth Mother. So that was quite clear. So the title said it all. And speaking of identity, though, some of it was that I really, on the spectrum of nature versus nurture, I really fell 100% in the nature camp, as I think a lot of adoptees do, because they feel like, and adoptive parents as well, you want to feel like your family around you are the ones who shape you, which undoubtedly they did, but you certainly can't negate the influence of nature. I also felt like, you know, you just never know what you will find out. And once, anyway, I had decided I didn't want to search, but nonetheless, one day soon after, my husband and I had just moved to a new apartment in Brooklyn with our toddler, I got a phone call from the adoption agency saying, you know, is this Paula Bernstein? And I said, yes. And they say, were you adopted from Louise Wise, which was the name of the agency? And I said, yes. And of course, my mind at that point is racing, what do they have to tell me? And then they tell me that you have a twin sister and she's looking for you. And at that moment, I mean, talk about your identity. I never could have fathomed that I had a twin. I suddenly, as Elise points out, that not only did she find out she had a twin, suddenly she was a twin, that shifted a sense of identity. And also, suddenly, I wondered, was my whole life a lie? I mean, for a panicked moment, I thought, did my parents know about this? Luckily, they did not, because, well, Elise can explain more.
So on my end, so I was in New York speaking with a social worker from Louise Wise, and once she told me that she was in touch with my twin, I was elated. I had just arrived in New York 2 days earlier, not knowing that my twin was living there, so I was thrilled. And then I asked her, I got serious, and I said, well, why were we separated? And she said, for a twin study. And I was floored. But of course, at that point, I really needed to enlist her help to help me find my twins. So I didn't really make much of a fuss at that point. But I was the wheels were turning. And so it was pretty hard to actually, later that day, I was speaking with my twin on the phone. So after being a singleton all of my life, Then I spoke with someone who had my voice, so just as we spoke about in the book. And then I had to tell her, unfortunately, that there was a twin study, and we were determined to get to the bottom of that as we got to know each other, and we began to conduct our own informal twin study into what is whether our identity is made up of nature or nurture.
I'll yank it away. I like how we have to share. So it's interesting, though. So we met 2 days later, and immediately, you know, we both were obviously startled at the idea of seeing someone else who was so similar to us, but not us. And I think we both felt this sense of possessiveness about, well, you know, everyone, I think, likes to think of themselves as a unique individual. So suddenly I meet someone who's like me, but not like me. And we also started to compare things that we had in common, and we were amazed. I mean, you hear these stories of separated twins, like the famous Jim twins, who were both firemen and both married women with the same name. Things
had the dogs had the same name.
So amazing coincidences like that. So in our case, we found, or not coincidences, and you wonder whether these specific details are really written in your genes. The fact is that even though we were both born in New York, and we both were adopted by Jewish families in the New York area, our upbringings were different, and that even though they were dramatically different, we still had the same obscure favorite film. We still had the same favorite book. We each were editors of our high school newspaper. We each had made short films and written about film and attended film festivals. I had interviewed film directors who Elise had met at film festivals, and we wondered, did they confuse us? And then there were all the times that we might have met.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, so Paula was raised in Westchester, New York, and I was raised up until the age of 11 on Long Island in New York. So today, for many reasons, ethical and otherwise, this would not have happened, which we'll get to more later. But it's incredible to see the similarities. With the internet now today, or even back then, it's astounding that we never found out that we had a twin growing up so close. So it's amazing to look at the picture of Paula at age 7. I would think that was me. So if someone showed that to me, I would think that was me. So imagine we had no idea at this age that just probably, 70 miles away, 80 miles away, we had an identical twin. So, and so you want to tell the story about...
So because we had a lot of the same interests, we did visit the same places, although, as we like to say, one of the differences, you know, we noticed so many similarities, and certainly we both have always loved to travel. We both studied French. She went on to live in France and become fluent, and I'm just a Francophile, and I like eating brie. Now, but seriously... Right. Oh, yes. No, I know. And then, so she was living. So I, sorry.
It's pretty amazing. So that when we met that first time and we compared our lives and we spoke about all the places we could have met, you know, from cinemas in New York where we had seen the same movies and all the times someone said, "You look like someone I know." I mean, so there were so many overlaps. And then when I had the pleasure of meeting Paula's parents and she met mine soon after we met. And then Marilyn and Bernie told me, you know what, we were in Paris a couple of years ago, and we actually saw someone who we thought could be Paula's twin, and we almost walked up to her. And I said, oh my gosh, when we compared, it was actually Saint-Germain-des-Prés, near the neighborhood that I often, that I frequented to go to the Czech Center. So, I mean, that's incredible to think that had they come up to me, strangers come up to me and said, you know, you look just like our daughter.
And so, as Elise was saying, that we did go about in jumping into the book, which is incredible to think that so soon after we met, we did start working on a book together. But in doing research for the book, we basically were conducting our own informal study of nature versus nurture and really questioning what is it that makes us who we are. And we were amazed, right, that even though we did have different upbringings, we have very similar mannerisms, as you could probably notice, as well as almost identical political leanings, as well as very, very similar taste in certainly books, film, culture, even fashion. I mean, Elise will say, right, we know, just coincidence. That we each picked out, right, these black, white, and yellow floral patterns. So Elise will say, we'll go into the same store and maybe buy variations on the same pattern, which is what we say about us, that in a way we are variations on a theme, that we might maybe have the same core template, and the same basic innate personality, but certainly life experiences have shaped who we are in different ways.
That's true, exactly. And I was going to say, another remarkable thing is the journey that we've traveled. You know, we knew when we met, it was undeniable that we were genetically identical twins. But what was our relationship? We were strangers. So in getting to know each other and working on the book together and unraveling the mystery of the twin study to the best of our ability, and researching into other separated twins, we found it was frustrating because the only person who could possibly understand each other was the other. But sometimes there would be frustrations along the way because we are so possessive of our identities, and we would squabble about, oh, gee, you know, I like your shirt, but I wouldn't wear it. Well, why not? Why wouldn't you wear it? I mean, very minute, irritating little things that I think, well, Paula was saying earlier today about how meeting her twin has helped her, and vice versa, I would agree with her about myself. It's helped us become more sure, more certain of who we are.
It is tricky, though, and I think it was upsetting to both of us and certainly our families to think, are we interchangeable? You know, if I had been raised by Elise's parents and she had been raised by mine, would I be her and would she be me? And this question of, you know, are genes plus environment, does that equal identity? And I think the answer is no. I don't believe it is. And partially, I mean, we're not scientists, we're not geneticists, but certainly we follow the news on DNA and the research that's being done. And I think more and more scientists are realizing that it's not nature or nurture. It's certainly both of them, and that what's amazing is that sometimes nature influences nurture, so that if you're an easygoing, happy child who's really adorable, people are going to treat you a certain way, and if you're, you know, difficult and stubborn and all those things, the world will treat you a certain way, so there's that nature influencing nurture. But what's amazing in recent years with the field of epigenetics, they're finding now that in fact nurture, in other words, the environment, actually influences our genes. That even though we started out with identical DNA, over time, certain markers in our DNA, if there's a biologist or geneticist here, I'm sure they could explain this to us later, but that DNA does change over time because of exposure to elements in the environment, whether it be, you know, life events or, you know, excessive sun or smoking, all sorts of things, which is why twins don't always develop entirely the same.
True, and it's interesting that we share 100% of our DNA, whereas fraternal twins only share 50% of their DNA, so as much as any regular siblings. We, in learning all of this, we learned about all of the twins, and we learned about what it was to be a twin. We see some twins in the audience. Hello, twins. And we're now, it's a new group. I mean, we've only been twins for 10 years. So you guys have to tell us how it's done. But it's really been a huge journey from being identical twins to becoming sisters, which I know must seem a bit odd. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of the way it normally goes.
Also, growing up as adoptees, neither of us knew anyone we were biologically related to until I had my daughter. She was my first biological relative I had met. And so then when Elise met me, she also met another biological relative.
And in fact, Paula's children, they have as much, since I share Paula's DNA, they they're carrying on my genetic legacy as well. So that's a nice perk. And plus, they're adorable children, so I get to brag as an aunt. I'm not a mom, but I love being an aunt. So I'm sure you guys have a ton of questions, unless you... Oh, right, I'm sorry.
We still have so much more to cover now. We got to fill them in more. Yes. Now, well, certainly, I mean, I'll anticipate a couple of the questions, too. It's certainly, as far as the study that we talk about, we did find out that we were dropped from the study quite early on. And also, it's important to note that the study was never published, because by the time the researchers got enough information, they realized that the public outcry about the ethics or lack of ethics involved would have been too great. So the study, the findings of the study are sealed until 2066. In conducting the research for the book, though, we were able to track down the psychiatrist who had the idea, and basically we believe they really were playing God, you know. And some of it was the way back then adoption agencies were different. Certainly doctors dealt with things differently. Sometimes, you know, making the decision not to tell a patient that they had cancer, things like that. So other agencies were not doing this, though. And we're pretty sure from the notes that we found pretty soon after, they realized that this should be a secret and that it was not acceptable even at that time. But basically, they had the theory that twins would be better off if they were raised separately, which, of course, is absurd. But as you point out, even though we should have been raised together...
So it's really hard, because even though I feel that we should have been raised together, I don't want to erase the life that I've led, and I imagine Paula feels the same way. So that's confusing. And then what does it mean? You know, we each have older brothers who were adopted from the same agency and born about a week apart. Of course, in the beginning, when we didn't really know, we were quite paranoid, as you can imagine, finding out we were part of a twin study, and even imagine that maybe our brothers were separated at birth, because they do look quite alike. So I'm going blank here. There's so much to say.
So with our brothers, though, I think that was a good point, that I think growing up, we each had, as Elise said, one older brother who was also adopted, and we were on equal footing, that neither of us knew any of our biological relatives. And then once we met, suddenly, you know, my brother, I think, what did feel a little bit confused and threatened, feeling like his sister has a sister, that suddenly I had a biological sibling and he did not. And while both of our families were incredibly supportive and welcoming and open, it was certainly upsetting for them to think, what if they had not had the chance? You know, my mother said, well, we already had your brother. What if I had told the adoption agency I didn't want to take twins? And then my brother was thinking, you know, there were just so many what ifs, I guess, of how things could have gone, which really does make... Oh, and then also in terms of the exhibit again, in terms of your identity being shaped by, think about it, where you are in your family. You know, are you the youngest child? Are you a twin? Are you the oldest child? And what we're finding, and so for us, suddenly, you know, even now people will say, well, how many siblings do you have? And even a question like that is different for us, you know, that now I have a sister, and, so I have a brother who's my real brother, but is not my biological brother. And then I have a sister who's my twin sister, but I didn't grow up with her. So, and then for our parents, it was also confusing. You know, what is Elise to them? People would say to my mom, oh, now you've got another daughter. And she'd say, she's not my daughter, she's my daughter's sister. Which is confusing.
Right now, so we probably text and or email every other day, approximately. And we do sometimes finish each other's sentences. And we do. It is great to say, you know, if we either of us have seen read an article or seen an obscure movie, I know that Paula, even though we did not grow up together, she will understand what I'm saying. So we do kind of have that twin, secret twin language. But, twin ESP does not work because when Paula gave birth, I did not feel a thing. So,
yes. Anyway, it is interesting, this whole idea again of what it is that makes us who you are and how you view yourself. And I think when we met, and I think twins probably get this all the time, but they grow up with it, this sense of comparing you to someone else. And so that was hard too, to say, you know, for people to say, well, why does she do this? And why do you not do that? And then, you know, as I said before, we both like to think we were unique individuals. So it was, in some ways, I think it was annoying to me that she was so similar to me, but it was also annoying to me that she wasn't more similar. So you can't win.
Exactly. I mean, when we first met, we were both thinking, you know, so what have you done with my DNA? What have you done with my DNA? You know, so it was that. But as Paula said earlier, we are, how did you put it? You said we're variations on a theme. So we've got the same basic template of personality. But ultimately, identity is not a mathematical equation. You can't simply go, you know, 50% nature, 50% nurture, because it's different for every person because the environment shapes our predispositions. So we're so glad that the journey has taken us to you here in Omaha today, and thank you for bringing us together, which is always a pleasure. And we're, unless Paula has something to say, we'll be ready.
As you should know, I'll say one more thing as far as differences, which I was touching on earlier, that we both love to travel. Elise got the one-way ticket, and I got the round-trip ticket. I think someone had asked earlier today what one of the main differences is between us, and I think one is that we both have wanderlust, but I think Elise has, you know, she's lived in, you know, I've lived in maybe three separate homes my entire life, and Elise has lived all over the world, you know, in Prague and Paris and San Francisco and Bloomington, Indiana and Durant, Oklahoma, all over. neither of us have been here in Omaha, so it is a big treat, and thank you so much, and I'm sure we've got some questions because there's a lot more to the story. Sure. Sorry about that.
The question is, how are your parents different?
Well, that is a major difference, basically, is that though our families started the same, they changed, the makeup of our families changed drastically when I was six, and my mother, my adoptive mother, who I consider my real mother, died of cancer. And so, and then my father remarried a year later, and then a few years later, when I was 11, we were uprooted from my extended family and Jewish community in Long Island and relocated to a small town in Oklahoma. So that was quite a big difference.
For a timeline reference, the attempted study for you two in relationship to the Minnesota Twin Studies, Bouchard Studies, can you give us a reference for that?
The biggest study of separated twins has been done in Minnesota with Tom Bouchard, and those are the twins who've been featured. You've probably seen them on shows like 60 Minutes. The biggest difference is that was a retroactive study. The twins in that case were not separated on purpose for a study. They were separated by circumstances, in some cases like, you know, the parent trap, where parents got divorced and one took one twin, the other took the other and never told the kids, or other dramatic and sometimes tragic situations which separated twins. But there has never been a study of twins who were separated from birth without them growing up, without the parents knowing about it, and that was studied as it was unfolding. Of course, the obvious question is, well, how did the researchers study the twins if the parents didn't know? And the answer is that the adoption agency told the parents when they adopted one of the twins, your child is already involved in a child development study. Is it okay if a researcher comes to your home? They never said what the study was about. And at this point, as far as we know, all of the twins who were part of the study, except for perhaps one, have reunited.
I'd like to add to that real quickly just to say that also as far as the Jim twins, the Fireman twins, and others, when they took part in Dr. Bouchard, he is a doctor, Dr. Bouchard's study, they had already spent time together as well. So that, you know, having spent time together changed a lot of their dynamic. So
I wonder, did you try to find your what out about your birth parents, your mother and father? When did you start doing that, and what did you learn?
So Elise, when she was in Paris, what set this whole thing in motion was that she was looking for information about our biological mother. And then when she came to New York, she found out she had a twin, and so that took her in a whole other direction. And of course, I had written a story saying I did not want to search, but and Elise was very respectful of my wishes and said, if you don't want to search, I will stop right now, you know, no pressure. And I said, honestly, at this point, all bets are off. You know, the Pandora's box is opened. Let's just see where it takes us. And we did research, and unfortunately, we did find out that our birth mother had suffered from mental illness, as Elise said. At the time, she was diagnosed as schizophrenic, and she passed away when we were quite young, actually.
What is the obscure movie that you share interest in?
Very good question, and I can say it in many languages. So it's Der Himmel über Berlin von Wim Wenders. So that would be Wings of Desire by Wim Wenders, also called Les Ailes du Désir, just to be the pretentious twin.
Yes, I cannot say it in any other languages, but that was the film. And it's funny because Elise said in the book, she said, what was it about that film? Was it maybe something about a feeling of longing or that spoke to both of us?
Were you able to learn anything about your biological father?
And in short, no. We learned nothing about our biological father. And in fact, we don't even know if anyone knows anything about him. And we are not looking for any more siblings.
Well, we both share a penchant for dark humor. So I'll say there's a very good chance he was either a psychiatrist or a mental patient.
How old were you when you started looking for your biological mother?
Oh, good question. So actually, you know, I said my, who I call my real mother, my adoptive mother, Linda, she died when I was 6, and she was only 33. So when I turned 33, I felt that it was time to really seek out the truth. And so that's when I began my search. Thank you.
I've noticed that twins frequently have mirror image right and left. And I notice you're both holding the microphone. Hold of the microphone with your right hand and gesturing with your left. Have you ever noticed any mirror image qualities?
Actually, that is a subset of twins, so not all twins. We now know more about twins than we ever thought we would know, and there is a subset of twins, a certain percentage that I don't remember offhand, of twins who are considered mirror image twins, which generally just means that one of them is right-handed, the other one's left-handed. There are extreme circumstances where an organ will be placed on the wrong side of the body. So it actually can be a very dangerous condition, but as far as we know, we are not mirror image twins.
Two questions. Do you know if the agency gave you to families because there were older brothers already in the families? And question two is, do your partners look alike?
As far as the first question, we did do a lot of research, and from what we could tell, they were looking for families with similar makeups, and also what they called, in the notes I remember, it said return customers. So both of our older brothers were adopted from the same agency, so the families were already established customers. And just to know that they are, you know, families who have already been established. And then Elise is single, and I'm married, so. But I do think we have similar taste in men. And in fact, yeah, I told her, hands off my husband.
And then we wondered, yeah, if I slept with her husband at the same time, if then the children would be like...
that's a different topic, yeah. We'll change that for another... Okay, do we have a G-rated question?
Yes. I have two questions also. The first one is, were either one of you afraid of being rejected by the other one?
That's a good question. I feel like in my... the microphone's going out. Honestly, I didn't think about it because it happened so quickly, and I think both of us were so unsure of what the situation was going to be like that I didn't... I mean, I met Elise just 2 days after I found out about her. So I really was just reeling. I didn't even go there. I had so many other things to contemplate, I'd say.
Yes, definitely. It was... very hard because I think, yeah, Paula didn't really want to know biological family. So she had her own reservations in general. And then so that was, yeah, quite tough. I mean, for me, I did feel that, yeah, the possibility of rejection. So it was tough.
And the other question is, do you know how many twins were put into this study?
Yes, there were 13 individuals, including ourselves. So 4 sets of twins and the triplets. The famous triplets, who there was a story written, they were in the press and on TV in 1980 that they were at the same college. First of all, the twins met, and then they realized they had a triplet because they went on TV and someone called and said, hey, I'm the third one. Luckily, we haven't found a third. We don't want a third. 2 is enough.
Do you have the same medical conditions? For example, if you have diabetes, do both of you have it?
Well, we both found out that we have a deadly allergy to sulfa, and I almost died from it as an adolescent, and Paula suffered from a severe allergic reaction to it.
Certainly, if we had been raised together, one of us would not have had that experience. So that is definitely a reason we should have had that information.
Did you find that you had similarities in your education?
I think we had similar interests in school and maybe excelled in the same sorts of classes. I would say we went to different sorts of colleges, but maybe, so yes and no. I mean, not in a stunning way.
My question goes along with that, actually. What were your careers, where were your careers when you met, and did you have to put any of that on hold to come and talk to us?
At the time, I had been working as a full-time entertainment journalist, and when I had my first child, I started to freelance. So I was freelancing and actually had just taken a personal essay writing class and was writing personal essays. And so this fit right up into that. But I did put my other writing on hold to work on the book with Elise, so that definitely took my career in a different path, and now I'm back to sort of what I was doing before.
Yeah, so I joke, it was pretty exciting for me, because not only did I find a twin, I also found a twin with an agent, so a book agent, so that was a good deal. Thanks, Paula.
So it became clear, I mean, to take that one step further, it became clear once we met that writing about our experience was really just a way to sort of cope with the news and make sense of it. And I initially was thinking I would write just a personal essay, and then as soon as Elise and I discussed it, it became clear that if we were going to do something, that we should both be a part of it so that both of our viewpoints came across. And it's amazing that we dove into it so soon. And I'll quote Elise here. As Elise likes to say, when we started the book, we had no idea how it would end, and one possibility was that we would kill each other.
Question for Paula. How old were you when you wrote the essay that said, I don't want to know?
I was maybe 29, so it wasn't, yeah, it was maybe just 4 years beforehand. The other thing that that I had mentioned earlier today was that in general, I had this idealized version of adoption and of the agency because they had connected me to my family, and that changed soon after I wrote that essay, and there was a cover story in the New York Times Magazine about that adoption agency and how they had lied to families and caused a great deal of hardship and heartache, and after that, and were basically lying to families, and from when I read that article, I started to think perhaps they had lied to my family.
Could you elaborate a little bit on your twin study? You've already answered how many participants there were, but do you have an idea specifically what was the objective of the study? Do you have an idea how long they studied some of the twins? And do you have any idea whether that information might be released earlier than, was it 2066?
From looking through the papers of the renowned psychologists, Dr. Viola Bernard and Dr. Peter Neubauer, who led the study, we suspect that some possible things they were trying to study, since it turns out that several of the twins and triplets included in the study have suffered from mental illness or who come from biological families where there is a history of mental illness. So that was one possibility, that it was about the heritability of mental illness. The other possibility was that it was looking into the influence on different parenting styles. And so the twin study ran from, what we said, 52 or 58 or?
I think it was from the late 50s to the early 70s or mid 70s. So we were one of the younger twins involved in the study. We were dropped from this study early on, and we were able to, through the course of the book, we were able to meet with a researcher who had visited us at our foster home, which was interesting, and he said that though they were trying to keep us separate, they placed us in the same foster home, which of course would throw off any study. And the other thing, even if the findings were released, they would not be scientifically accurate or helpful because it was a biased study, that they would have the same researchers go from one home to the next, often on the same day. They were obviously looking for similarities. Anyone who knows psychological studies knows you need to have, you know, a blind, you know, reference so that. It is unlikely that they will release the files. We have tried. We did meet with not just the researcher, but also the psychiatrist who actually came up with the idea of the study, and he showed absolutely no remorse at all and said, basically, you know, you've had good lives. It all worked out.
Thank you.
Do you ever think about what would happen if you never met each other?
He's a smart kid. certainly, I think. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, we think of all the times earlier in our lives when, you know, people would say to me, oh, you look just like someone I know. And of course, most people get that at some point in their lives. But then we do think back to all the times that people said that and wonder, you know, maybe they did know Elise. Maybe we would have met sooner. And in fact, after we met, I was at a mommy daughter, you know, baby class, and a woman said to me, I think we went to college together. And it turned out she had gone to college with Elise. But then it's funny because she didn't know the whole story. And I said, well, my twin sister went to that college. You must be thinking of her. And she said, well, what dorm did she live in? And I said, I don't know, because we had only just met, really. And even now, I don't know. And then, you know, she asked, what was her major? Did you visit her? And I said, no. And I joked that she must have thought I was the worst sister ever.
I would like to add, when you asked that, I actually teared up a little. I mean, it's... It is tough to imagine not having met at all. I mean, I think for me, it would have been. I mean, I wouldn't have known. And I think that finding, like we said, you know, finding out that I had a twin and I shared a womb with someone, it really helped me learn a lot about myself. So, and how I function in the world.
How many foster homes were you in, and how old were both of you when you were adopted?
As far as we know, we were in one foster home. I was adopted at 6 months, and Elise was 9 months. And that, as far as this researcher told us, that was one of the reasons that perhaps we were dropped from the study, that our experiences would be too different at that point.
You talked about how horrible it was to have twins separated. Is there ever a right way or any instance where it's okay?
Actually, Elise and I did talk about this at the time, and I don't know if you remember, but we said that certainly if one twin was so severely disabled that could really, you know, an extreme example where somebody could not have any quality of life, then obviously it would be a disservice to the other twin to not adopt them to a family, which would obviously be a tragic situation. So that's about, you know, the most extreme situation. And then otherwise, though, it's not a good idea to separate twins, although we'll end on an interesting note, not that total bummer about that example, which is that research has shown that twins who were raised separately are actually more alike than twins who are raised together, because twins who are raised together make a point of differentiating themselves. And we, in fact, for the book, interviewed twins who said, we both liked art, you know, but art was her thing, so I became the music twin. You know, and in our case, we both were into, you know, literature and film, and we both became the film twin. So thank you so much for coming out. We're going to be upstairs signing books.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a program from the Durham Museum Lecture Series on Noon Forum. We've heard a talk by identical twins, Paula Bernstein and Elise Schein, who were separated shortly after birth, only to be reunited at the age of 35. The title of their talk has been Identical Strangers. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, October 21st, 2014, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Jessica Brummer, Director of Marketing and Public Relations at the Durham Museum, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 400 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.